So we've been talking all about sowing and reaping and God dreams inside of you, and how there are some beliefs that we have, some core beliefs that may have been because of your family or how you were raised, but they don't exactly line up with the Word of God, and that how we have to change our beliefs so that it lines up with the Word of God, and how, you know, God sees the best out of us. He sees all of you as accomplishing great things. He sees the plan and the purpose that He created you for, and when we change our beliefs, then that will come to pass. Amen? And Pastor Dan started my message last night. I was sitting there like, no more. But the verse that is key today is Habakkuk 2, and it says that the Lord, well, actually, I had in my PowerPoint the New King James Version, but I like the one that he used. And it says, the Lord gave me this answer. Write down clearly on a tablet what I reveal to you so that it can be read at a glance. Put it in writing because it is not yet time for it to come true. But the time is coming quickly and what I show you will come true. It may seem slow in coming, but wait for it. It will certainly take place and will not be delayed. So that was a good news translation. I did my PowerPoint early. I've got all kinds of kudos for that. And so it was already done before I did this message. But that is the verse because, you know, if you look at any successful company in America, they have a vision statement. If you go through like their employee handbook or something. So they've taken this biblical principle of having a vision, writing it down, and they've applied it to a worldly company for success. And it works because if you think about it, what do you think is the hardest part in a race? The beginning, the middle, or the end? The middle. At the beginning, you're excited. You're like, I'm going to win this thing. You have all this anticipation about what is going to happen. At the end, you're tired as all heck, but you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. You see the finish line, and you're like, I've gone this far. I'm about to finish, right? Now, in the middle, when there's no goal in sight, you don't see any light, and you're just tired, and there's nothing. That's when it gets pretty hard. But the vision statement helps you to continue on and make your dreams become reality. So you have to get a journal. You have to put these God dreams and write them down and then watch God make them come to pass, right? So when I was looking out in the audience last time, I got kind of a righteous indignation. I was angry with the enemy because I saw women who had lost their dream, who had given up hope, where the life's disappointments had just kind of stopped you because there was so many tears. The faces had so much anguish, and that's why I knew we were not done. And, you know, the devil is a liar. And so if he tells you that the God dream in your heart is not going to come to pass, then that means it's about to happen, right? He cannot tell the truth. So this God who birthed the dream in you and the God whose word does not return void is going to make it come to pass, right? So I decided to call this message the Dream Team because we've been trying to make our dreams become reality all by ourselves, but we need a team approach. So this is the Dream Team pep talk, okay? So you know who the original Dream Team was? It was a 1992 Olympic basketball team. And it was like Charles Barkley and Magic Johnson and Patrick Ewing and Scottie Pippen and those guys. So if we think about our dream being accomplished with a team, I'm going to make you the coach, okay? So in your life, to make your dream come to pass, you're going to control who plays what position, okay? And if you think about it, now I am not a basketball expert. I watch it, you know, but I have never played myself. But I know that the tall guy is the center and that and he has to be the center. Sometimes he's like calling the plays and that kind of thing. And you have to make Jesus the center on your basketball team, the dream team. Amen. So he should be the tallest, the biggest thing in your life. And what the center does is he kind of tries to get close to the basket to make jump shots and stuff. And Jesus is the one that's going to help you score in life. And he's going to help us win the game. Amen. He also blocks shots when they try to make it because he's so tall. He's just at the basket going, nope, that's not going to happen. Right. And so that's what he's going to do. He's going to help us with the word of God to deflect the fiery darts that the enemy throws at us. Amen. And then he also, since he's so tall, he gets the rebound. So they make the shot and he gives you back the ball. But you cannot be so paralyzed because of the disappointments in your life that you don't take the shot. Amen. So one of the reasons why your dreams may not have come to pass is because Jesus is not the center. Okay. So our relationship with him should be priority over everything else. So if you have a dream that you feel is a God dream and you have not, as the coach of your life, made Jesus the center, then it's not going to come to pass. Psalm 42:1 says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul for you. Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And a lot of times our mind and our prayers are so focused on our need that we take our eyes and our attention off of him, and we need to refocus. Amen. Matthew 6:33 says, seek his kingdom first. And, you know, I think I've told this story before, but this fits the story perfectly of one time when I really did not have Jesus at the center of my life, and I thought I did. But because the enemy is a deceiver, coming to kill, steal, and destroy, if you're deceived, you don't know it. You don't know it. Otherwise, you're not deceived, right? So I had my life, you know, I've always been kind of type A, overachiever kind of person. And I had let, you know, my goals overshadow God's goals for me. And so I had it all figured out that I was going to finish medical school. I was going to have 3 children. I wanted them 2 to 3 years apart, and I wanted a boy, a girl, a boy. I figured out if I get an ovulation predictor kit, I know when I'm going to have the boy, I know when I have the girl, and I'm all set. And then I'm done by, I wanted to be done by like 34, 35, done with childbearing, done. Boop. And so everything was going fine. I had my boy, but, you know, that's a testimony in itself. Jared Michael Reynolds, and he was not supposed to be here today. He was supposed to be dead, but God brought him through. I had my little girl on Valentine's Day, you know, precious. And so I'm like, okay, one more to go. And right about when Jenna was 18 months old, I tried to get pregnant, and I got pregnant, so I decorate the nursery. I'm all ready. I'm like, then they go for my 12-week ultrasound, and there's no heartbeat, right? I'm like, well, this was not in my plans. The dream was 3 children, boy, girl, boy, every 2 to 3 years, right? And so I'm like, okay, well, I am just going to fight the devil. How dare he try to steal my baby? And I just get more scriptures. Now, I'm thinking that I'm doing what God wants me to do because I have verses to stand on, that children are a gift of God and all this. And I got my verses, and I'm just battling. But I'm so focused on battling for this child that I'm not seeking him. I'm not walking in love. I am not, you know, I'm just too focused. And I have another miscarriage at 12 weeks. You know, and now I'm like, oh, there's a problem, you know, and when you are trying for something, when you have a dream, you know, Satan brings all that in your face. So everybody's pregnant. Everybody has beautiful little children and families of 3. And I'm just like, oh, and I'm just battling more and battling more. And after 4 miscarriages, it takes me a little longer sometimes to hear from God. Then I said, you know, I've taken my focus off of you and I repent. And you know, my plan, you know, you have to be willing to change your dream, change your plan sometime. I'm like, it's not my plan, Lord. It's your plan. If you want me to have 3 kids, if you want me to have 20 kids, if you want me to just stay with these 2, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to commit to you. Amen? And at, how long are they apart? So 4 years later, I have Justin, you know, and he's a joy. But the big thing is there's a difference between desire, which is what you set your heart on and yearn for, and you kind of stretch to get because you want it, and then when you let that turn to lust. Now, what happens with lust is you have this desire, but it gets so strong that you're out of balance, and it causes you to, it torments you and steals your joy. So you have to think about your dream, and you're like, if this is a God dream, then it should not be stealing your joy. Amen? If it's stealing your joy, then Jesus is not your center. Amen? Because Jesus wants you to live a life that's abundant. He wants you to be prosperous in every area, and you're not supposed to be crying over your dream. Your focus is wrong. Put Jesus back in the center. Amen? So on our team, now we're the coach, and we got the center is Jesus. So usually there are guards. There's a point and a shooting guard. But I'm going to combine this. Instead of a five-man basketball team, we're going to have a three-man basketball team. Amen? So your point and shooting guard, you know, the point and shooting guard, they usually make these outside shots, these three-pointers, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And that's going to be the Holy Spirit, because he's going to dribble the ball down the court, best dribbler, best passer, and get you the ball so you can take the shot. But a lot of times, we don't hear him tell us what to do because he speaks in that still small voice. And a lot of times, as he's dribbling the ball, we're so anxious to make the shot, we don't wait. Amen? So a lot of times in our dreams, we are in the wait mode as the Holy Spirit is trying to stretch our faith and develop our faith and mature us in the Word of God. And that's the unhappy kind of mode. Sometimes you're doing everything right, and you're just in this wait mode as, you know, you're maturing in the Lord. Because if he's the center, now you're growing. You're learning more scripture. You're learning how to develop the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You know, the love, joy, patience, long-suffering. And you're just waiting, okay? And Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we need to develop in our life. James 1:2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." So none of us like perseverance or patience or waiting. It's not fun. We are in this fast food generation and we want it like yesterday, right? It couldn't come fast enough. And I had it in my heart to adopt for a while. You know, I have a passion for children. And just for justice, I think that my big thing is about justice, and I hate injustice. And when I first got married and I approached my husband, I was like, you know, I always thought I might want to adopt. And he's like, let's just have our own kids, you know, this and this. I'm like, okay. So then after we have our own kids, I approach him again. He's like, you don't think we have enough on our hands with these three? And I'm like, yeah, kind of we do. And then I approach him again. So it took 23 years for this dream, for him to say, we can look into it. So once he said that, I went for it, right? So I, because I knew the statistics, and here's my little appeal to you. You know, there are 58,000 children in California alone, just in our state, that don't have a mommy and a daddy, that are growing up in foster care. Oh, I'm passionate. I'm about to cry. Okay, I think I'm okay. Mm-mm. If I cry, I'm done. Gotta take it away. Okay, so anyway, so after we go through the adoption classes and everything, we just got expedited through this process because we're black. Do you know that of those 58,000 children, all of them, 99% of them are black and Hispanic. And 90% of the families that adopt are white. And so when they get a minority that wants to adopt, they are excited, okay? So we went right through, and they said, you know, this child that you want, you know, we had visits with him or whatever, and they said, this should be like, you know, 4 to 6 months. It should just, everything's all done, and this should be easy and all this kind of stuff. So twice a week, his parents were not together, so he had to go to L.A. with a social worker to see the mom and then to see the dad. The worst experience ever, okay, because he's bonded immediately with us, and you could just imagine him hanging onto the car door jam as I pry fingers off, and he's crying, I'm crying, and the social worker's taking him away, and he came to us in diapers, he got potty trained, and every time he'd come back, he had wet his pants, he had regressed, horrible, but I'm like, okay, 6 months, 4 months, 6 months. And then 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, 10 months, a year, you know, 2 years for this adoption to take place. So that dream that I waited for 23 years, then adoption for 2 years. But I was doing the right thing, and I just was in waiting mode. Amen? So your guard should be the Holy Spirit. And he'll get the ball in your hands, but you have to listen to the still small voice. You have to be patient and wait for your dream to manifest. And the other position are the power and small forward. And for this, these are these big, bulky guys that block the shots, you know, at the best, like, get away, like that. And they also are good rebounders. And so how do you get free from the enemy so you can score? You use the most powerful thing in your arsenal, which is the sword of the Spirit or the Word of God. And you cannot, a lot of times, they'll block the shots and get you the ball, but because of previous disappointments, you know, you get a shot clock violation because you just stand there holding the ball. You ever seen that happen? And you're like, take the shot, take the shot. And you're afraid, you know, you're afraid. But basketball is down to the last second. How many times have you seen a tie game and there's like 10 seconds? Who wants the ball? Like Kobe wants the ball because he knows, you know, I'd be like, no, not me, I can't do it, you know. But he wants the ball. The person that has the most faith is the one who wants the ball and who wants to take that shot. Amen? Because God's purpose and plan will take place whether you are listening to that still small voice or not. Did you know that? What if the Holy Spirit had asked you to go witness to the lady that was about to abort Israel Houghton? You know, there was a woman who crossed the street and went to minister to his mother, who was a drug addict, and tell her that Jesus loved her. And she got saved, and she became a pastor, and she had Israel Houghton, who makes music for millions around the world. His ministry of love blesses millions of people around the world, but you would have had to hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Or what if he had asked you to inspire a world that at the time was so full of racism that to make a speech like I Have a Dream would have risked your life? But Martin Luther King said yes. Amen? And what if you were Mary? Do you think that it was her dream to get pregnant by the Holy Spirit and be ostracized from her community to have that the man of God, the Son of God? But when the angel of the Lord approached her, she said, let everything you have said happen to me. So we have to hear from the Holy Spirit. Keep him in the game. We have to have Jesus as the center. Amen? And we have to use the Word of God as our power forwards, because that's the strongest thing we have. But what I realize is that we can never be satisfied with just where we are in life, because and keep that same vision, because as you mature, as you age, your vision changes. You know, as God matures you, you want different things in life. Do you want the same thing when you were 18 that you want now? No, it changes, and you have to be willing to change with God, because he's not only the God that healed me 30 years ago, you know, but he heals today. He delivered me, you know, 40 years ago, and he still delivers. I remember that I was just looking at Pastor Sue when thinking about children, but Pastor Donna and Eddie, when they were head of the youth department, Jared was in youth, and I remember he was about 10 or 12, and he went to youth camp, and he got slain in the spirit, began to speak in tongues, and so drunk in the Holy Ghost that they had to carry him back to the cabin, and he wasn't right till the next morning. That God can still do that to our teenagers today. Amen? But what happens a lot of times, because of the disappointments in life, we start to minimize him, and we forget. You know, but we have to keep telling each other testimonies, because it will increase our faith. So how do we get the rebound? You know, so he's blocked the shots for us. And, you know, a lot of times we say that we are still believing for the dream, but in actuality in our heart, you know, we're still praying, but we've given up. We've given up. It may have been, like me, 23 years, you know, and you still say the same prayers. You still tell people this is what you're believing for. You still have people pray for you or whatever, but you really have given up. And you're not screening out the opponent. They're making all the baskets, and you're losing the game because you've given the devil a foothold. So what I think that we need is a quality called resilience, okay? And you see, in that dry brick and dirt and arid ground, life has come forth. And resilience is the ability to bounce back when things don't go as planned. And this is what I believe you need today, because of the hurt and the tears because of your dreams not coming to pass. You know, there's a million people that have accomplished things despite obstacles. One person that is called Harold Varmus, and he was the president of the National Institute of Health. But back in the day, when he was growing up, his dad wanted him to be a doctor, like he was a doctor. And he tried school, and it was a little hard, and he decided to be an English major. And then he got his graduate degree in English from Harvard, and he said, maybe I should. I still have a passion. I'll try to go to med school. And he didn't get in several times, declined. And then finally, after many years, he gets in, and he goes into research, and he gets a Nobel Prize because of his research on cancer genes. You know, he didn't give up. And there's millions of people that do this, and that's what we need to do. He had resilience, okay? So they don't. If you are resilient, you don't wallow in your past failures. You learn from them. You don't have a pity party. You move on, move forward. Amen. It's like it's the ability to roll with the punches, you know. And you have to. When I think of rolling with the punches, I think of boxers. You know, you never can take your eyes off the enemy. You can't even blink. Hebrews 12:1. It says we have to lay aside every weight and the sin that easily ensnares us and look to Jesus. Every weight and look to Jesus, your eyes on him. Amen? 1 Corinthians 7:35 says, serve the Lord without any distractions. Do you have distractions in your life? Sometimes just life can be a distraction. Does it ever prevent you from studying the Word of God? Just doing laundry, going to church even, working in the ministry, going to work, going to the grocery store. Life can be a distraction. Children added on to that. Maybe grandchildren added on to that. Godchildren added on to that. I mean, there's a lot of things. But we need to serve the Lord without distraction and stay focused on our opponent. Because even when they make a shot, when you make a shot, you know, if you don't play defense and get the ball back, you still are going to lose the game, right? You can't just, so you get a victory, you get a raise, or you get a job, or you buy a house. That is not the time to slack off. You have to keep staying in the Word, keep learning the Scriptures, keep developing the fruit of the Spirit, keep seeking His kingdom, keep keeping Him as the center of your life. You cannot blink. The other thing a boxer has to do is keep moving. If you just stay there, you're going to be knocked out, right? Turn to Isaiah 43:18. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. That's what that little picture was. Streams in the wasteland and a way in the wilderness. When it seems like an impossibility in our lives, all things are possible to him that believes. In Philippians 3, it talks about we have to forget what's behind and strain toward what's ahead and press. You have to roll with the punches because they're going to come. The Bible says trials are going to come. You know, a lot of people think when I get saved, it's all supposed to be like hunky-dory and wonderful, but you know, if it came to Jesus, it's going to come to you. The trials are going to come. So in order to roll with the punches, you have to do a couple things. One, you have to view trials as a challenge. Instead of, a lot of us take it personally. When life hits us, we take it personally. We're like, wow, it's always, this kind of stuff always happens to me. I just can never get ahead. And no matter how I try, you know. And you cannot take it personally. They come to all of us. We just wear it differently. We just have a different level of faith. Amen? So when a trial comes, you have to see it as an opportunity to grow. So a trial is a mountain. Mark 11:22 says you have to speak to the mountains. You go throw yourself into the sea. If you do not doubt in your heart, but believe what they say will happen, it will be done. So when these mountains are in your life, you view them not as a personal tragedy. It's not just you. You're not the only one under attack. But I'm going to grow from this. Satan will never get me in this area again. Amen? The other thing to be resilient is to be committed. In Psalm 37:5, it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. Amen? Another thing is that you can't, to be resilient, you have to focus on things that you can control, not those things that you can no longer control. You know, if you just sit there all day and you just are worrying about things you can't control and you're like, Lord, I wish my son was saved. Oh, I just wish my children would come to God. I just wish I hadn't lost my job. If only I hadn't lost my job, then maybe this and maybe that and maybe, and if only and if only and if only. Does that help? You can control the witness before your children. You know, you can let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and your children get saved. You can show them the love of God and they can get saved. But worrying over it is not going to do it. Amen? Turn to Philippians 4:8. Because you can also control what you think. It's your will. Your choice. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So don't sit there and think about things that you have absolutely no control over. Life is going to happen. But think about the things that you have control over. Think about who you are in Christ. Think about who your King is. That he's bigger than every mountain in your life. Amen? And that he can bring your dream to reality. Another thing resilient people do is remember that when God closes one door, he opens another door. You know, when you get home, go to Acts chapter 6. Because it talks about Paul, and he wanted to go minister in one city, but it says he was kept by the Holy Spirit from going there. Then he wanted to go minister in another city, and it says the Spirit of Jesus would not allow him to go there either. But then it told him to go to Macedonia. That's Acts 6:6. And so he had to be open for the change. Amen? He had to realize that God closed the door to this city. He closed the door to that city. But I'm not going to sit there and dwell on that and get depressed and say, what is wrong? I just want to preach the word of God. Why can't I go here? Why can't I go there? Amen? But a lot of time, we're so inflexible that we miss the back door because we want it a certain way. Three children, boy, girl, boy, every 2 years, a certain way. Amen? So we're the coach of this team, and we control whether Jesus is the center, where the Holy Spirit plays, how we use the word of God. We are going to be resilient, and we're not going to allow the disappointments in life to paralyze us and keep us from taking the shot and making our dreams come to pass. And we're going to learn how to roll with the punches. We're going to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we're not going to blink. We're going to keep moving so we don't get knocked out and not dwell on the past disappointment. And we know that we are not going to take things personally, that we have to view the trials in life as learning opportunities. We have to remember to think on things that we can control, things that are lovely and admirable, and not the things that we can't control. We have to look for that back door, because when God closes one door, he opens another, and we have to keep the right players in the game. But there's a couple other things for our team for us to win the game. You got to keep your bench ready. The players that are sitting on the bench, because basketball is fast-paced, and you're going to get tired, so you need substitutions. Amen? You can't keep saying the same verse year after year after year. Because when cancer hits you, if the only verse you know is Jesus wept, you're in big trouble. So you got to have more in your arsenal. Amen? Always keep learning the word of God every day. I used to write down scriptures and on a little index card, depending on what I was facing, and put it in my pocket and just keep saying it and saying it and saying it. And then even once I memorized it, sometimes it's just memorizing it. It still takes you to say it again, so it goes into from your head to your heart. Amen? Then, in addition to your bench, you have to take some timeouts. You know what happens in the huddle and timeout? They reorganize and they confirm. So either the coach is going to say, okay, you're in the wait mode. You know, we're doing okay, we're behind, but we can still win this game. Or you're going to get rebuked. Now, this is not what we practice. You didn't do this right. You didn't do that right. So it's just like you need to have, in the mouths of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So you need to have some godly counsel concerning your dreams. You know, if you go to a friend and you say, you know, well, I've been believing for this and it just has to happen. It just has to. I can't sleep. I can't eat. And they're going to rebuke you. And they're going to say, is Jesus the sinner? What, you know, are you using the word of God to fight? What scriptures are you standing on? You know, or if you say, you know, I'm just seeking God. Well, I'm waiting for this to come to pass. I'm standing on these scriptures. I believe it's going to happen. I'm in faith. Then they're just going to agree with you in prayer. Amen. So you have to have godly counsel. You have to have your bench ready. And you have to have the right shoes. What a million-dollar industry are basketball shoes today. They got to have the right amount of lift and the right amount of bounce. And they got to be comfortable and support your ankles and do all this kind of stuff, right? Because you got to pivot and you got to dunk and you want to win the game. So our feet have to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, when the Roman soldiers, back in the day, they had sandals for battle, but they put these nails in the bottom of the sandals, like cleats, so that they were immovable. And you have to have a firm and a solid knowledge of the Word of God so that when the winds come and the, you know, things are not going well, you are immovable. You know what you know what you know. You know that God is faithful. You know that the Word is true, that you know that His Word does not return void and that it's going to come to pass and you can stand on the Word. It says, having done all to stand, stand again, right? Don't move. So think of those sandals with nails in them. And when you have your scriptures in hand and you just fight your battles that way, the right basketball shoes, okay? And then lastly, we need some good fans. You know, they have, you know, you always hear home court advantage. That's the truth. They've done studies and that you win more when you're at home because of the cheering and the way the fans push you on to victory. And the Bible says that we should not avoid the assembling of the saints. That's girlfriends. That's morning church, evening church. That's shift and Saturday church. And every service that you can get into, you need some good support. You know, and the other thing that you have to remember is you might have the wrong motive. Okay? I remember when I first got saved, I had Joyce Meyer envy. And it wasn't because I had a heart for the people or a passion to preach the word of God. I just thought it was a cool job. I was like, she gets to dress all up and travel and she makes a lot of money. I had the wrong motive. So God was not going to let that dream come to pass because I only wanted to look cute and make a lot of money. I didn't have a heart for souls. Amen. I know the other day we were driving to drop Jade and Jason off at school, and Jason says, Mommy, I want you to have another baby in your tummy. And Jade said, yeah, Mom, we're going to pray. And I'm like, I don't want another baby in my tummy. I have 5 children. I don't need any more babies. And they're like, we're going to pray. You're going to see. So they could think it was a God dream because there's scripture that children are a blessing. They could stand on the word of God, but why isn't that dream going to come to pass? For one, I don't want it. And for two, you know, it's not going to happen. I'm menopausal, right? Done. They have to be like a Sarah experience, you know? But they're not convinced at this age, so they're just praying and believing God. You know, James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you spend what you get on your pleasures. You know, if you're believing God to be a millionaire so you can buy a Rolls Royce and have all these material things, wrong motive. You know, it's not that the material things are wrong. You can have all that and bless the people of God and pay off the Rock mortgage. Amen. It's the right motive behind it where God's going to bless you. Get the Rolls Royce. Have the house on the hill. You know? And but have the right motive. Matthew 6:19-21 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So there's nothing wrong with the things, but don't try to accumulate these things in life and not have your heart in the right place. Amen? Maya Angelou said a little quote that I love. It says, I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you make them feel. And as I've matured, this is what I try to do. I try to make an impact on people's lives. You know, and if we concentrate on how we make people feel, and that's just, you know, God is love. That's walking in love, you know, caring. Not just like, hey, how you doing? And really not wanting to hear how they are doing. You know, it's like, oh, man, are you really going to tell me? I'm in a hurry. Dang it. You know, so the other quote that I wrote down is Bruce Barton. He says, nothing great has ever been achieved except by those who dare to believe that something inside them was superior to the circumstances. So what's inside you? The Holy Spirit lives in you. God lives in you, the greater one, the creator. He spoke and the world came into existence. That's what's in you. And so Ephesians 3:16, I put up here because this is what I think our prayer should be for each other. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. That's what we need to be praying for each other. We need to be a good bench. Amen? We need to be praying for, when you go to girlfriends, make a friend. You know, make a friend and pray for that person. And if you aren't a good table talk person, then just pray for the group. We all have the same problems as women and God. So player development in basketball is crucial. And you have to think about it. How much time do you spend practicing your free throw? How much time do you spend in the Word of God? Bruce Lee says, I fear not, you know who Bruce Lee was? I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times. You know, it sometimes life can be tedious, mundane, not fun. You know, you don't get accolades for cleaning toilets and washing clothes and getting groceries. No one gives you praise or writes you up in the newspaper when you stay up all night with a sick child. You know, but you can't give up. Dreams become reality with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God, the dream team. And we'll come home with the gold medal if we, as the coach, play the right players in the right positions. Amen? Now, I put some pictures up here because these are some dreams of mine. You need a husband? The verse is Proverbs 18:22. Yeah, that's us. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. 1984, 28 years, okay? If your marriage is rocky, you get a word of God and you stand on it to make your dream become a reality. Okay, on the left, I'm valedictorian of high school. Not many people in my family graduated from high school. On the right, I'm getting my medical degree from medical school. And then down below, I'm traveling with two wonderful women of God, Pastor Deborah and Pastor Sue in Tanzania. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou go. Joshua 1:9. Get a scripture and stand on it and make your dreams become reality. You believing for children? Psalm 113:9 says, he gives the childless woman a family, making her a happy mother. Praise the Lord. That's Jenna. That's, she's about to graduate from Texas Christian in May. That's Jared. He finished college and he's got a good job finally in Redlands. And that's Justin. He's going to graduate in May also from high school. This is Jason graduating from preschool into kindergarten. It says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That's Jade. Learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of orphans, fight for the rights of widows. Isaiah 1:17. This is our adoption day. Defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. And your children have gone south. Train up a child in the way he should go. And he will, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Dreams become reality with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God, the dream team.
Vanessa to talk to us because she's lived some dreams. I mean, how old were you when you adopted Jade? And 50 years old when you adopted two kids, and they were
two. He was two. We didn't know about Jade. We just wanted one.
Okay, tell us just, can you just tell us about how that happened?
All right. I think I'm still on.
Good.
Okay, so we adopted Jason, and we were going through that, and we just wanted one. We just wanted to be a blessing. We thought we can handle one. And then we got him in February of 3 years ago. And then in October, we get a call from the social worker, and she says, because there were like 10 other siblings in this family, and she said that one little girl had been taken by a foster family from birth and been with this foster family for 5 years, but they just got a call that there may be some trouble. And right now everything was fine, but will we consider taking his full biological sibling into our home? And just to pray on it. And so I'm like, oh, wow. You know, so I call Larry. And before I'm on the phone with him, and he's like, I don't know. Let me just pray, you know. And as soon as I hang up, within like 30 minutes, there's another call. And she's like, you know, that hypothetical situation just came to pass. If you were at all considering it, she said, maybe you could take her as a foster and think about it, because otherwise she's never been out of this one home, and we'd have to move her from this home into your home, and all this kind of, it's going to be very traumatic for her. And, you know, I was like, you know, my heart just went out for this child, and I was like, and Larry was like, are you sure? And I was like, I think we should call her Jade. And he's like, you're sure? And anyway, that night, that very day, you know, they had to go with the police to her school and get her. It was very traumatic for her, and she didn't get to us till like 10 o'clock at night. And she was knocked out asleep, and she didn't even wake up. She had cried her way all the way from Los Angeles. And so I put her on our sofa in our bedroom because I didn't want her to wake up and not know where she was. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, Larry's hitting me, and she's standing by the bedside. And she's bold because he has sleep at me. He had a big old mask on, been scared to death. But anyway, she's standing there, and I'm like, well, hi, sweetie, you know, and she's like, hi, and I'm like, are you afraid? Do you want to get in the bed? And she climbed in between us, went right to sleep, and, you know, and so now we have Jade and Jason, and her adoption went quickly because she had already been in that other home, so we got her within like 4 months, so.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Vanessa, we love you.
Thank you.
And, you know, you catch what people are more than what they say, and my goodness. You know, if I have anthrax, but I tell you I got a cold, you're going to catch anthrax, right? So Dr. Vanessa has this big heart, this big, big, beautiful, gorgeous Jesus heart. And that's what I wanted us to catch. Because you could look at Dr. Vanessa and you could say, well, I'm not a doctor. I'm not married to a wealthy man. I'm not this. I'm not that. All of the things that Larry and Vanessa have gone through, they have gotten there because they loved God and they were willing to do what she said today. I mean, Larry had his degree from Stanford, and that's a whole nother story. Mm-hmm. So every dream that they're living right now is because they've gone through a process. They've lived this day in, and that what amazes me is that they keep living it. It's not, they don't stop. Well, I've made it. We've arrived. No. Now they challenge themselves, and they challenge their hearts, and they challenge heaven with a new dream that goes even further. I mean, who adopts two kids when they're 50 years old that's already raised a family? That's rare. And you've challenged us. And Dr. Vanessa, we love you.
Let me say one thing about adoption, can I?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'm not crying now. Okay, look, so it may seem like a very big task, but do you know that adults need to be adopted? Let me just put this plug in, is that when you're in the foster system, say you've never been adopted, and they just put you out there at 18. Is your child ready to face the world at 18 years of age? These people that are out there that have lived in foster homes their whole life, where are they going to spend Christmas and Thanksgiving? I'm crying again. Okay, who are they going to tell when they get a promotion? They don't have a family. So how about an adult? You can adopt an adult, you know, and just let them into your home, invite them in for Christmas and Thanksgiving, and love them, be a part of their life.
Wow. So if we wanted more information on this, what would we do?
Right here across the street next to Best Western is Quantity Adoption Agency. It's a Christian agency. That's the one that we use, and they can answer your questions.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Might be good if they could come in, maybe even...
They would love to.
Do a, you know, would you be interested? Do you think that would be something that would be just...
You guys will all be crying.
Yeah.
It's just...
Because this is the true religion, is to help the widow and the orphan in their trouble. Not when they're out of trouble, but in the mess. And the best way to get out of a mess is to get into somebody else's mess and help them out. Then you forget about yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that works? You know, when you're depressed, just go make somebody else feel better, and instantly you feel better, right?
Right.
So, Dr. Vanessa, thank you so much for just sharing your life and your